भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 6. Kintu Sastra Bahutve Syad Bahunam Iha Karminam Sastratvam Upacharohi यथा मंडलवर्तिनाम किंतु शास्त्र बहुत्वे स्याद बहुनाम इह कर्मिनाम शास्त्रत्वम् उपचारोहि यथा मंडलवर्तिनाम। Mataji's, please. Kintu, but, Sastra, of governors or judges, Bahutve, in the plurality, Syat, there may be, Bahunam, of many, Iha, in this world, Karminam, persons performing actions, Sastratvam, departmental management. Upachara, administration. He, indeed, yatha, just like, mandalavartinam, of the departmental heads. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The Yamadutas continued, since there are many different karmis or workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice. But just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges. Purport. In governmental management, there may be departmental officials to give justice to different persons, but the law must be one. And that central law must control everyone. The Yamadutas could not imagine that two judges would give two different verdicts in the same case, and therefore they wanted to know who the central judge is. The Yamadutas were certain that Ajamil was a most sinful man, but although Yamaraj wanted to punish him, the Vishnudutas excused him. This was a puzzling situation that the Yamadutas wanted Yamaraj to clarify. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Milita Menitasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's explained that a teacher may know better, but the teacher comes down to the level of his students. The teacher doesn't give knowledge more than the student can understand. Similarly, it's not that Yamaraj didn't know who's the ultimate, who's the supreme, but just that the Yamadutas were not ready to hear. So now, when the Yamadutas met the Vishnudutas, and they found out that there's actually somebody higher, they came back running to Yamaraj, and they narrated the whole incident. And during the narration, they actually chanted the names of Vishnu. And when the Yamadutas chanted the names of Vishnu, Yamaraj was actually in ecstasy, it says. Because Yamaraj was, after all, a great Vaishnava. So we can understand that how Yamaraj didn't give just because the Yamadutas were not in a position to hear. It's just like I had a teeny experience one time. I was distributing books in a small town in New Zealand. There were like hardly any people there. It's like our farmer's market just across the street on Tuesdays, like that kind of crowd, you know, probably less. And all I had was Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1, first canto, and the Nectar of Instructions. And nobody was stopping and taking books. And finally this one Samoan guy, like really big, maybe like 300 pounds, you know, like you can see he's not like very philosophical. So anyways, he approached me and then I gave him, he took the Nectar of Instruction and then he asked me like, what is this? I said, these are books about inner happiness, you know, stress relief, meditation. And then he opened to the section where it's talking about Radha Kund. And he was struggling to pronounce even like Radha Kund and Radha Rani. And he's like, what is that? So I was thinking like, what am I supposed to say, you know? So I kept telling the same thing. It's about, you know, meditation, inner happiness. It's about yoga. He kept asking me if it's the Bible and is Jesus, Jesus and is the church. This is the only three words he can come across, which was pretty good. He, at least he can relate that I'm some kind of a priest or something like that. So I was just thinking, you know, when I was reading this pastime, how, you know, we may have the topmost knowledge, we may have the topmost wisdom, Prabhupada's books, but then when the audience are not quite ready, then it's hard for us to explain what's in the books. Similarly, Yamaraj was happy when they came across this incident and his servants were getting to know something higher. So, in one sense, we were all like the Yamadutas. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the conditioned souls are actually swimming in the ocean of nations, nisayans, devoured by all kinds of sharks and crocodiles. These, you know, the sharks and crocodiles are compared to the misconceptions that are available. Generally speaking, nobody knows Krishna. On the other hand, everybody is envious of Krishna. As soon as you say Krishna is God, then immediately the reaction is people say, no, Krishna is not God. Then Prabhupada say, if you say Krishna is not God, then you should be able to say who is. But no, I don't know who is God, but Krishna is definitely not God. This is the instant reaction. So Krishna also says this in the Gita. That name vidu suragana prabhavam cha maharishaya aham adirhi devanam maharishinam cha sarvashah. That Krishna explains that nobody knows me. What to speak of Yamadutas or the conditioned souls of the material world? Krishna explains that not even the Suragana, not even the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva and Indra, they can fully understand Krishna. It's like we know in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the pastimes where Lord Brahma was bewildered. When he was told that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Brahma couldn't conceive that. He was thinking, here is this little boy, he was not even old enough to take care of cows. He was given in charge of the calves only at that time. And he was eating pickle and yogurt and he was sitting with all his friends. And Brahma couldn't conceive that Krishna, this little boy, calf herd boy, was the source of even Brahma. He couldn't believe that. Same with the case of Indra. When the Indra Yajna was stopped by Krishna, Indra was so furious. And Indra started calling names to Krishna, this impudent, talkative child. Krishna, listening to him, everybody, you know, has stopped my worship. I'll teach them a lesson. And Indra was ready to wipe out the whole of Vrajabhumi. Can you imagine the offense? So this is the position. What to speak of us? That's why Kunti Devi prays that Maya Javanika Channam Agya Jokshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Mudadrisha Nato Nata Yato Daroyata. That Kunti Devi says that there, first of all, Krishna is covered by the curtain of Maya, just like we have this blue curtain we can't see. Similarly, curtain of Maya, of Yoga Maya, is covering Krishna. And Krishna is also called Adokshaja. He's beyond the range of our senses. He's beyond our sense perception. And Kunti Devi also says, the foolish observer cannot recognize you, just like an actor on the stage is not recognized. So it's a very beautiful sloka. Kunti Devi is summarizing how Krishna's position is so great. But we being in illusion, we cannot understand. Especially she says, Janmaiswarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madhapuman Naivahatya Vidatumvai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. Kunti Devi says Generally speaking, Krishna, you're not understood. Especially you're not understood by somebody who thinks they have some value in life. Somebody who thinks that there is something to be had in the material world, or there's some happiness in this material world. They definitely cannot approach you. They definitely cannot approach you. Because Prabhupada explains, if we have this Janma Aishwarya, Shruti, Shri, a very high birth, learning, beauty and opulence, we may come in front of Krishna, but we cannot call out with the feelings. It's explained by the Vaishnava Acharyas, even if we call Krishna once with feeling, then Krishna is ours. But the problem is, when we think we have something, then we cannot call out in front of Krishna in a helpless way. Like recently I heard this one very nice example that explains this situation, this sloka we're discussing here. There was actually an emperor who was getting old. So he wanted to find another person to replace his position. So he called all the boys in his kingdom, and the emperor gave all the young boys a seed, a very nice seed. And the emperor said, you take this home, in 1 year time I will call all of you back, and then depending on how you have nurtured this seed into a nice plant, how you have made it into a nice tree, then I will choose who is the emperor. So they all went home and sowed the seed, and they were like, everybody is discussing. 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed, the plant has come out, and some of them are discussing how the plant is very colorful and healthy and is growing really fast. But except one boy, he sowed the seed, but nothing came out. He just had an empty pot. 6 months passed, 8 months passed, nothing came out. All his friends were ridiculing him and making fun of him. Look at you, You were like so unfortunate, Nothing even came out, not even a weed. So this way, this boy was embarrassed to see all his friends' plants is growing into a small tree, and some of them are already starting to give small fruits. And anyway, the day came, the emperor called all of them to the court, and the emperor was studying the plants of each boy's head. And there was this boy who also showed up with his empty pot. There's nothing there. And the emperor was happy to see him with the empty pot. So he called him forward and told everybody, behold your next emperor, he's standing right here. And everybody was amazed. We have all kinds of nice plants, but this boy has brought an empty pot and he's supposed to be the king, next king. Everybody was puzzled. And the emperor explained how before he gave the seed to all of them, he actually fried them in high heat. He fried them before he gave them. So according to the king, nothing must have grown out of the seed. But all these guys have lied to the king by bringing some other plant which was not given by the king. So the king said, at least I'm happy to see one person who is honest. And even though he had nothing, he came and he was bold enough to come, and he was honest enough to be here, and he's the next king. So similarly, Krishna explains in the Gita that this place is actually Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. There is actually no happiness here. There's zero happiness. But somehow or other, we have taken this world and we're somehow or other making it in such a way and that there's actually lots of happiness. And we're pretending to be something that we are not. So to such people, Queen Kunti explained, it's very hard to get the mercy. Naiva hatya vidatum vai tvam akinchana gochara. One who is honest, just like this boy who came with the empty pot. Similarly, we approach Krishna and tell him that there is actually we had enough of this place. So many lifetimes we've been here building sand castles and trying to be the center of all attraction, trying to find all kinds of happiness and find a solution to all the problems. It didn't work out. So one who approaches Krishna with that mood, then immediately Krishna is ours. This is the essence of this prayer by Queen Kunti. And also it's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That fortunate soul, while wandering through different universes trying to enjoy and find happiness, when he comes across Krishna, Guru and Krishna, then he is the most fortunate. Somehow or other, when we come across that seed, the Bhakti Lata Beach, then our life becomes perfect. Just like all of us, we came somehow or other in contact with Srila Prabhupada or his books or his disciples. Then we are given the vision to see things as they are. Like we say every morning, Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. We are all born in darkness, but the spiritual master actually gives the vision so we can see. We can see things as they are. We can understand who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is a very high position. Like we are discussing how not even the demigods can fully understand Krishna's position, but some Kali Yuga refugees, we are given like this understanding. One time devotees asked Prabhupada, like, it says in the Bhagavatam that anybody who comes to Krishna consciousness must have performed all kinds of sacrifices and chanted mantras and bathed in holy rivers. And Prabhupada said, no, I've simply made your good fortune. So this is our position. Prabhupada has created our good fortune, given the topmost, not just topmost wisdom from India, but topmost of the spiritual world, Radha Krishna's pastimes. Not even other Vaishnava sampradayas understand what is Radha and Krishna Leela, what is all these esoteric subject matters. But Prabhupada has given us, even though like we are unqualified. It's like one time Prabhupada was asked about Manu Samhita, following the Manu Samhita. Prabhupada said, what to speak of following the Manu Samhita? You cannot even touch the Manu Samhita or translate the Manu Samhita. As soon as you want to follow the Manu Samhita, then you will immediately be qualified as Mlecha and Yavana, as untouchable, and immediately you will not be allowed. So Prabhupada said, just go on chanting. Chant 24 hours and then you will attain perfection. So this is our fortune, that as soon as we come across ISKCON, even slightly, immediately we understand the essence of all the Vedas, the conclusion of all the Shastras. So like when I first went to the preaching center, ISKCON preaching center, I was always talking to this devotee who I thought was a dishwasher. I mean, he was always washing dishes. So I was thinking in my mind that this dishwasher actually knows much more than all the pundits have spoken to in my whole life. Growing up in India, you hear so many lectures and you come across like so many swamis and you hear so many pravachans, so many lectures. But I'm thinking this dishwasher in Prabhupada's movement, he was actually making more sense than ever. I was so impressed, I couldn't get over that feeling. So like Prabhupada used to say about the little Saraswati, Shyam Sundar Prabhu's daughter, Malati Mataji's daughter, that she used to go up to respectable gentlemen in India and she would say, do you know who is Krishna? And they say, no, she would say, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada was so impressed. Prabhupada would always quote this, just like our little Saraswati. Even she can understand Krishna consciousness. It's so joyful and easy to understand. But all the big, big pandits, they're chanting mantras and they're falling asleep in the process. The Saraswati used to say like this, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada used to be so proud of her. And this is our good fortune. We can understand this conclusion of all the Shastras just by reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada used to say that his books are actually better than him. It's like Satyanarayan Prabhu. He went all the way to India. And Prabhupada was residing in Calcutta. And Satyanarayan Prabhu went to him and said, Prabhupada, I want to stay in this temple in Calcutta and do pujari work. And also the Kaviraj, the doctor, is close by. I want to learn Ayurveda. Learn the science of Ayurveda. Prabhupada said, don't worry about all these things. Just read my books. Everything you need to know is there. And then it was hard for him to swallow that instruction, that he had to follow that without any protest. But he did. And he was very grateful later on. So all the things we need to know, whether it's material or spiritual, is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Like Prabhupada is an expert. Like 1 minute, he's talking very high pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Next minute, he's chastising somebody because they spent like 10 cents more than what they should have spent. In this way, Prabhupada is training us even in basic dealings, how to live in this world. Even to, you know, in practical dealings. So Prabhupada used to say, reading 2 hours my books daily, that's actually tapasya. And all the time, we hear like initiation lectures or conversations or transcriptions. Prabhupada is always saying, just like he used to say that during the time of initiation that we should follow the regulative principles. Prabhupada almost said along with that we should read his books. We should read his books just like a lawyer knows the law books. And more than ever, this world actually needs this knowledge now. We can see just by going out, whether it's like going to Hollywood or downtown or Santa Monica, we can see what kind of people are there, and what's the lifestyle, and what's the consciousness, and how everybody's struggling. So unless somebody comes across these books, there's no hope, actually. There's no hope. It's just simply struggle for existence, and then grow old and die. And my Guru Maharaj, I was listening to a lecture of him recently, and he said, compared to his time when he was growing up in New York 40 years ago, and comparing the times of the 70s and now, he says his time was almost like Satya Yuga. He says people would receive a Bhagavad Gita as it is on the street, sit down somewhere in a park or in a bench or library, read cover to cover and come to the temple and say, I want to join. Nowadays, you hardly find anybody that keep coming for 2 years before you read. You say, have you read our books? Skim through it, you know. Library angel helped me to find one page, and that was 6 months ago. It's very hard for people. So he was explaining how it's not our business, it's not finished just by giving them a book. You have to hold their hands and gently walk them through the books. So this is the position, and he was explaining how we should become expert at administering the medicine, just like a doctor becomes expert at administering the medicine to the child. He knows how to candy coat the medicine. So even though the medicine is bitter, the child is happily taking it. So it's not like we give them a book and it's finished. It's our responsibility to help them actually read these books and understand these books. Otherwise, on their own, it's becoming very, very difficult. Like he was also explaining how nowadays, when some bhakta joins Krishna consciousness, he has two doctors, one psychologist and one naturopath, to help them recover from all the abuse that they've gone through in their life before they can walk in a straight line and think straight and the heads are cleared up. It takes like between 3 to 5 years, he was saying. So this is the position, because in the name of happiness, everybody is starting from like 9 years old, and they want to go on till like 90 years old. There's so many medicines available nowadays. It's like we met this one kid, and he was talking about like girlfriend and pregnancy, and he was like very young, maybe 9 or 10 years old. So one of my friends, he was telling, you know, if you do those activities, you're going to have a baby, then it's like, you know, what you're going to do when you're very young? The kid says, I will sell it on the eBay when he gets the child. This is like a 10-year-old talking like this. So this is the position of Kali Yuga. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya upudrataha. Like Swas Prabhu is reading every morning from the first canto. Prabhupada is explaining purport after purport the position of Kali Yuga, the souls in Kali Yuga. So the point of my class is that, you know, the Yamadutas were bewildered. They didn't know who's the supreme or who's the ultimate authority. And Yamaraj is going to explain. So everybody is in a similar situation. But somehow or other, we have come to Prabhupada's movement and we have understood who is the supreme. And now it's our duty to share. It's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If somebody thinks I can repay the debt I owe to my spiritual master, he's actually considered a joker. Srimad Bhagavatam says he must be joking. But we can make an attempt to repay the debt by sharing this knowledge that we have received with others. And this way we can help others become fortunate as well. And it's just like the other day I was talking to one of my friends. The guy is a lawyer and his girlfriend is in sales. And you know, the guy is already a devotee, but the girl, he introduced her to Krishna consciousness. And she's just finished reading the Bhagavad Gita because of his inspiration. And I was just thinking, you know, when she spoke, it was making total sense. It was like amazing. And I was just thinking, this was Prabhupada's mood. This was Prabhupada's desire that every young American intelligent man and woman should pick up one of his books and read cover to cover. And you know, that's it. They will never be the same again. The consciousness is transformed. Somebody said joining Krishna consciousness is also like joining a gang. You cannot leave because you know too much. So even if you read one of Prabhupada's books, you're finished. It may take you like 10 years. So what? You know, it's a gradual process. But once you know better, the intelligence is always kicking. Like we may be doing something wrong, but we always know in the back of head, I shouldn't be doing this. Human form is actually meant for achieving love of God like this. Otherwise, unless somebody comes to the point of reading one of Prabhupada's books, they always remain in ignorance. The bodily designations, we don't even know we are in the material world. We don't know the matter or spirit, what to speak of the pastimes of Krishna. pastimes of Allah or pastimes of Jehovah. So I was talking to somebody, they said like they, you know, it says in their books they saw God as a burning bush. Something like this, you know, very limited understanding. So, yeah, this is my teeny realization and presentation this morning. Any of the devotees have any questions or comments, or you can discuss. Amala Bhakta Prabhu, you have anything you'd like to share with us? Achita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class, nice realizations. Today we have, don't forget, we have this Antioch College coming, 15 students coming at 10 o'clock. So Shastri Prabhu is going to take charge of that for me today because I'm all busy. And if anybody else would like to help him, this is a chance to do what he's asking us to do or reminding us to do, which is share the knowledge, get them to read at least one of Prabhupada's books. So here we have students. We are usually going out into the classes, into the colleges, universities, high schools, and trying to interest them. Now they're coming here. So when they come here, the battle is more than half won. They're already on the campus. And the teacher is very favorable, Dr. Dale Johnston. They're going to come at 10, stay up until the noon arctic, and then go to Govindaswam for prasadam. That's already the plan. They want to do that. They also wanted to go through the museum, if you can arrange that. But at least one or two other devotees need to help them out, because I'll meet them at 10, but I have to leave at 10:30. So, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.